muted. There we go. We're in the Old Testament today, so Isaiah will be after. Chances are, if you open your Bible up to the middle, you'll hit the Psalms or Proverbs. Just keep going forward a little bit, and you'll find the book of Isaiah. And we're in chapter 9. Do you need to find a light for your world today? There's a lot of people struggle with believing today, stepping out in faith in our day and age, just really trusting in someone or something that they can't really see, feel, and touch. That's just kind of a reality of where a lot of people are. Or there are those that whose faith maybe has just kind of become weak or maybe a little detached from their everyday life, a little less, I don't know, real to you. And we can find ourselves kind of doubting or wondering how much God really is involved in our everyday life. And we start listening to some of the questions of our culture and kind of listening to the questions of a doubting world. And sometimes just not really finding answers, but sometimes not really seeking answers either. Just kind of in this not sure phase. And in reality, it can kind of be a dark place when you just don't know, but not really having the answers for that. Not really, you're left with questions and not a lot of answers. Remember how is darkness created? I'll give you a hint. Yeah. No power, right? No light. And when there's no light, there's darkness, right? You can't make darkness. You can only take away light. But sometimes that's where we find ourselves, without the light, and we're left with darkness. This video, just a little short video, is kind of a picture of somebody that found themselves in that place and how he came back to it. And it's a little different take on it. Might get you thinking, though. So listen up and see if this speaks to where you are.
We remember the birth of Jesus the Christ. We have been told stories of old. God came as a child to change the destiny of all men, to show forgiveness to sinners. To believe such things is misguided. The truth is, he was just an ordinary man who lived an ordinary life. Those who do not believe the truth say, "We proclaim his name, Emmanuel, God with us. We share the wonder of the shepherds. We sing the songs of the angels." This is not what is real. Shepherds were not awakened by angelic announcement. There were no wise men celebrating the birth of the king. I'd be lying to you if I said that for the creator of the universe, there was no room in the inn. For the Son of God, there was but a humble stable. Whether you like it or not, this is the reality of Christmas. That's what I used to think. But then I made room for him in my heart, and Jesus turned it all upside down. This is the reality of Christmas, whether you like it or not. There was but a humble stable for the Son of God. There was no room in the inn for the creator of the universe. I'd be lying to you if I said that there were no wise men celebrating the birth of the king, that shepherds were not awakened by angelic announcement. This is not what is real. We sing the song of the angels. We share the wonder of the shepherds. We proclaim his name, Emmanuel, God with us. Those who do not believe the truth say he was just an ordinary man who lived an ordinary life. But to believe such things is misguided. The truth is, to show forgiveness to sinners, to change the destiny of all men, God came as a child. If you They've been told stories of old. We remember the birth of Jesus Christ.
Kind of started off a little bit ominous, didn't it? And it can be a dark place where we don't have a hope. We don't have that assurance that God is real, that this is not just a story. When you seek truth and you seek after God, you know what God does? He brings light back into your world. Light comes and darkness is what? It's gone. Darkness is dispelled. When you seek answers and you seek God, He's promised that you will find Him. You will find light for your world, whatever your world might look like. Not that you're going to have answers to every question. There's nobody on this earth that has answers to every question, is there? Nobody has all the answers, no matter what your perspective is. Even believers, Christians, I have questions that I don't have answers for, and I probably won't on this earth, but I do have answers. And they're the answers that matter most, the answers of the meaningful questions that are going to ultimately matter most on the other side of this life, but they matter most here as well. Seekers of God will always find God. And when you find God, you find light, you find hope, and you find answers. Our world can really do a lot to crush our hope, can't it? In a lot of ways. I've got another short video about another guy named Charlie. Yes, Charlie Brown. Everybody, he felt hopeless, right? Because everybody kept telling him he was hopeless, right? That was Charlie Brown's signature thing. Rats! It's always like, oh, something else is going wrong. You know, either Lucy's giving him bad advice or swiping the football out from in front of him. He just struggled. That was because the world was just seemed to crush him in so many ways. But this whole, that Charlie Brown Christmas video, which we have, we watch that all the time. The show is all about Charlie Brown just trying to get Christmas and struggling. He's just not getting Christmas. He doesn't understand it. He looks for it and he finds Snoopy with his what? His doghouse is decked out. I think he won first place in the most, you know, decked out home, you know. Everyone's wanted to have fun. He's supposed to direct a Christmas play, and they're all just wanting to dance and goof around and have fun and get presents. And, you know, his little sister Sally's just writing her letter to Santa because she wants stuff, right? And Charlie Brown's like, I don't get Christmas. So he's trying, but he's just trying to figure out the way people are doing it, and it's not working because it's not working for them. And so he tries to do good things. He tries to do what's right. And he finds this tree. They send him out to buy the tree, right? And he brings back the Charlie Brown Christmas tree, right? And it reminds him a little bit, I think, of himself. He sees this poor little tree that nobody's going to buy because it's so decrepit and so fallen apart. And he says, I'm going to love this tree and bring it home, and we're going to make this tree a great tree, right? And, of course, that's where we picked up the story, right? How they treat the tree is really how Charlie Brown gets treated. Now, as we watch this little clip of it, I want you to pay special attention to something that somebody pointed out. I saw it on Facebook or something or other. Pay attention to Linus's blanket. Okay? So let's go ahead and make sure the volume is up good, John, if you
could. We're back.
Okay.
you stupid, Charlie Brown.
What kind of a tree is that?
You are supposed to get a good tree. Can't you even tell a good tree from a poor tree?
I told you he'd goof it up. He's not the kind you can depend on to do anything right.
You're hopeless, Charlie Brown. Completely hopeless.
Rats!
You've been dumb before, Charlie Brown, but this time you really did it.
What a tree! I guess you were right, Linus. I shouldn't have picked this little tree. Everything I do turns into a disaster. I guess I really don't know what Christmas is all about. Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
Sure, Charlie Brown. I can tell you what Christmas is all about. Lights, please.
And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
So, what happened with Linus's blanket? Yeah, he dropped the blanket. He dropped the blanket. Charlie Brown is trying to figure out life, trying to figure out Christmas, and Linus comes back with a simple truth: God. God. God came into this world. Linus reminds him that the world rejected God's Son, didn't he? Born in a humble stable, really born to die, born to be rejected by men, wasn't he? That was what he came. And yet, the humble servant became great. The humble servant was celebrated by God. Behold my Son, in whom I am what? Well pleased. Listen to him, right? Celebrated by angels, celebrated by all of heaven. Now, those are wonderful things, but we still carry around our security blanket, don't we? That was Linus's security blanket, right? That's what he carried it around. Did you ever see Linus without it? Always had it. That was what he hung on to for his comfort. And yet, when he was going through his reading of the scripture, he said, remember what he said just before he dropped the blanket? He said, Fear not. And he dropped his blanket. Fear not. The thing that he was hanging on to when he was dealing with the stuff of life that he struggled with and had fear over and worried over and didn't understand, we just need to drop that, because God says, fear not. I bring you good tidings of great joy that'll be to all the people, to the Charlie Browns of the world, to the Lucys of the world, to the Schroeders that seem to have it all together with their music or whatever. He says, fear not. I bring you great tidings of good, of joy that will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, a Savior has been born to you. And that's the reality of it. Darkness has always been a fearful place, and we all have our different security blankets. We all carry around things that we use to protect us when things get out of control, out of our control, right? And we just have to say, I'm just going to hang on to this. And God is saying, fear not. Let go of the thing that you're hanging on to for your safety and security. Hang on to me. Hang on to me, God says. Some of us have wandered into darkness, not even realizing it, but finding ourselves there. Some of us woke up there. All of a sudden, we're just like, what am I doing here in this dark place? Some of us went there on adventures with every intention of heading out into that dark place. It's never where God created us to be. It was the night before last. I was doing some laundry in the basement, and I'm separating laundry, and all of a sudden, boo! Power goes out, and I'm like, man, it is dark down here. I mean, there's no windows. It's just one window, but it's covered up. I'm like, it is dark down here. And of course, I'm 55 years old, and I got to walk, find my way to the stairs, and you still get the willies. I don't care how old you are. You still get the willies up your back about, there's nothing behind me. There's nobody else here. Darkness does that to us, doesn't it? It makes us, we weren't created to live there. We were created to live in light. And light is given by God. We were created to live in relationship with Him and in His light. That's what this verse says. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light, and He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. There's all kinds of great Trinitarian stuff we could go into, but I'm not going to in this verse. But, you know, when our problems seem so much more real and urgent than our faith. And we've all been there. Have you been there where it's like, I know I should believe, but boy, this problem seems bigger than my faith, and we struggle with the two. Hey, if you haven't been there, guess what? You're going to be. That's the reality. But we can seek light. We can seek answers to our problems from God, from His Word. The Word says, fear not, fear not. We have a Wonderful Counselor. Who is that term given to in Scripture, Wonderful Counselor? The Holy Spirit is our Counselor. He was sent to be our Counselor, to guide us into truth, give us wisdom. He loves to give wisdom through His Spirit. So He says, fear not. You have a Wonderful Counselor. You have a Wonderful Counselor. And He's with you. Even when the lights go dark and you're like, oh man, it's really dark. What am I doing here in the dark? We can say, God, guide me and lead me. And we can pray. It says, fear not, for He is a mighty God. And we can pray to a mighty God. I'm just going to ask, and I want you to do this not only out of testimony for God, but as an encouragement to the person that's maybe sitting somewhere near you. If you have seen God answer prayer in not odd, but God type of ways, where it's like, well, this was God, I want you to stand up where you are and say, God did that in my life. I've seen Him answer prayers in my life. Look around you. You're not the only one. God answers prayers. Amen, church? Amen. Be seated. Fear not, for we serve a mighty God that we can pray to, and that's available to all of us. Maybe you're dealing with, I don't know what problem that might be. Maybe it's finances. Maybe it's a relationship problem. Maybe it's a work problem. Maybe it's a school problem. I don't know. But when things seem maybe unfixable, or God's just not answering as quickly as we need him to answer, imagine a number of you could stand up on that one and say, yeah, God answered, but it wasn't as fast as I was expecting it or hoping it to be. Amen. When our things seem overwhelming, you serve an everlasting Father. An everlasting Father. He is a Father who loves you more perfectly than you can love yourself. I still always remember that what my mom said to me. She says, you'll never know how much I love you till what? You've heard that one too, right? Till you have kids of your own, you will never understand how much I love you. We will never understand how much God loves us. Just never will. But even more than I love my kids, even more than you love your kids, God the Father loves you. Fear not. You have an everlasting Father who loves you. And when our doubts seem more real than our faith, fear not, because the Prince of Peace, he's your King. He is the King of all kings. He's the King of this world. And he is the one that can bring the peace when you have no idea how to find peace. It's a matter of seeking light. It's where we find our hope and optimism as believers, isn't it? While we no longer in our joy depend on others for our happiness, we no longer need other people's approval for our sense of well-being. We no longer need that the stuff around us in order to be happy. We find ourselves, when we have the Prince of Peace, loving others and loving, being grateful for the things that God has given us in ways that we just weren't able to do before. When the Prince of Peace resides in us, we can love others that aren't loving us so well. Maybe we'll have to love the ones that hate us. And you know what? We can find ourselves at peace and grateful for what we have, even if it's just enough. We can say, thank you, Lord, for giving me just enough today. It's what I needed. You've given me what I needed. And when we have that seeking after God, we don't fear, right? And light chases away the darkness. Love drives out the fear, because God is good that way. I started off our message with a do you need to find a light for your world question. We can replace that inward focus, that inward hopelessness that we have when all we're thinking on is me and my what I'm dealing with and my stuff and my needs and what I want. When we begin to seek God for a light in our world, our attention begins to turn upwards and outwards. We begin to be more optimistic and hopeful, because our dependence is no longer on what? On me, or on the things that I am trying to do in my life. My focus is on Christ, on the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, my wonderful counselor. And that's where we find our hope. We follow Jesus, and this, we're going to just close with our, does everybody have candles? I hope everybody got them as they came in. So, I know I thought I had one up here, didn't I? Oh, it's on this side. Thank you, Cindy. This is not only for you. If you're in a place where you're saying, you know what, my light's grown kind of dim, and I really do need him to light up my life. Or maybe you're thinking to yourself, I've honestly never really made that personal choice to say, Jesus, be my light. Jesus, be my Savior. This light is for you, for yourself, and then it's for you to give away to someone else, because we're never meant for blessing to come to us. We're meant for blessing to come what? Through us. The minute it stops here, it begins to stop being a blessing. We need to allow it to come through us to others. And so as we close, I'm coming to light from the center candle, which is the Christ candle. And we're going to sing that beautiful song. If we could just have the lights down. And as you light somebody's, try not to tip it over too much, so we keep the candle wax in the candle. But let's take a moment. I'm just going to take some time for us to be quiet as we close our service before we sing. And let the Holy Spirit speak to you. And look inside and ask, God, how is my light? Do I need your light? Maybe I've let it go dim. Maybe I've never received you into my life as my light at all. Let him speak to you. And in the quietness of your heart, ask him to come and fill your world with light. And then ask him, and Lord, who else do you want me to give this light to? Take some time to be quiet with God.